The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." The Gospel of the Lord.
Yeah, it's a bit of a challenging gospel passage to understand, certainly at first glance, and I will say even to preach on. We see, Jesus sending the Spirit as the advocate, the one who will plead his disciples' case before God, and will help make the case, also not simply before God, but also make the case in the world as it relates to these three things that that he outlines. He will convict the world, he will show the world to be wrong in regard to sin, righteousness, and condemnation. Why in regard to sin? I mean, he says, because they do not believe in me. The world is in rebellion against God, lives in a state of rebellion against God. And the Spirit will show that to be the case. Righteousness. Yeah, righteousness, of course, the world has its own brand of justice, as it were. It has its own sense of righteousness. And in particular, the world, and this is not simply like the world outside of Israel, but really anyone who stands in opposition to Jesus, we will see their sentence of justice, which is the death, the penalty of death on Jesus. We will see justice overturned. We will see the world's justice overturned in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the Spirit will show the world to be wrong as it relates to condemnation. Because again, by the world's brand of justice, the condemnation rests on Jesus. And yet, Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that, in fact, the ruler of the world is condemned. So the one who stokes the flames of human rebellion and the like, he is condemned. And in fact, the tyrannizing powers, and especially the power of death itself is defeated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, Do you grasp that or not? It's hard now for me because I'm getting older and everybody's moving away from me in the church. So the feedback that I get from people is much blurrier than it used to be, and you're not helping me. But I will pray that I become farsighted so I can deal with this a bit better. The challenge is this: we see in this sense the what all happens in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Like here, okay, righteousness, justice, yeah. God's raising Jesus from the dead shows him to be in the right. It shows him to be the righteous one. Then anyone who lives in the life of Jesus, or anyone who is, indwelt by the Spirit, that person also is declared or found to be in the right. Yeah, so these are significant things for us, but there's another layer to it, and the question is, okay, well, how does the advocate plead this case? How does the advocate show the world to be in the wrong as it relates to sin, justice, righteousness, and condemnation or judgment? How does he do that? He does it in and through Jesus' faithful followers. He does it in and through the work of Jesus. And then the sending of the Spirit, it's not as though the Spirit is like hanging out outside of us with, I don't know, megaphone or something, or, you know, having people hear in auditory sense, you know, these words that are given of sin and justice and condemnation, is that we have to live in such manner that, yes, we show, the Spirit is showing through us, that the world is in the wrong, the world in rebellion against God, the world that otherwise stands opposed to Jesus and his way, that the world is wrong as it relates to sin and justice and judgment. So we take the judgment of the God overturning the judgment or the condemnation of the world and showing that, in fact, now the ruler of the world is condemned and death itself is confined to the trash heap, right? How do we do that? Well, we have to live beyond death. The Spirit does it, though. The Spirit does it in us and through us. Because, of course, this is God's own Spirit. This is the Spirit of Jesus, who himself lives the call of God and perseveres in the call of God all the way to death and through death and out the other side. It's Jesus who overcomes death as he goes that way, as he lives God's own life of love, as he embodies, as he makes flesh, incarnates God's own life of love, he defeats death. And then he breathes his own Spirit into us. I won't try to say it. He breathes his own Spirit into us. We are animated by his Spirit. Yeah? His Spirit is our lifeblood. I don't know how many different ways to say it. I'm just saying the same thing over and over again. What am I doing? This is, I don't know, is this the work of the Spirit? You should be praying for me. Anyway, this is just five ways, the same thing. What does it mean, though? Yeah, it means that we can and should live beyond death. Do we live in fear? We should not. Are we ourselves slave to the rule of sin and death? No, the weapons of the tyrant have been overcome. So then what motivates us? How do we live? Right? How do we show that God is a good God who wills the restoration of his creation? Well, we do that by living for him and his purposes every moment of every day and not getting hung up on any number of idolatries that are, say, like open and available to us. We don't center our lives on anything else. We don't have to. You know, if we were dominated ourselves by the fear of sin and death, our lives should look very different than they look now because we're not slave to the rule of sin and death. We won't live in open rebellion against God. We will follow Jesus into holiness of life and so be part of God's new creative force and restoring the world, raising it up, having the world governed by his rule of holiness and justice. But we have to do it ourselves. And it means that we go the way of trust and love. We have to trust. We have to trust God. Where do we trust God? Where do we not? What are your sins? Those are places where you're not trusting God. That's where you're joining the rebellion of the world. But Jesus has overcome the world. So why are we doing it? we're growing into it, right? We're growing into it. But the Spirit is being breathed into us. The Spirit is alive and active. And we are being then drawn by the Father, like in the Spirit, through the Spirit. We're being drawn by the Father to Jesus, and our lives look more and more like his. And when we do that, when we live the life of Christ now, which is what we're called to do, then we are part of this proving of the world to be wrong. But it's ours. We're not necessarily thinking about it all the time, right? We just want to be Jesus for the world, because that's what we've been called to. And it's not simply then that we've been called to it and we're out there trying to do it. We're trying to be Jesus for this person and this person and that person. You're trying to be Jesus for me. I'm trying to be Jesus for you. Yeah, it doesn't always look that pretty. Sometimes it takes a little longer than you expect it to, right? But we're trying to be Jesus for each other and for those outside. And we struggle with it. We strive for it. We fall, we get up, we go again. But we do it all in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and so we should rest there. We should have peace there because it's God's work. But today we have to give it our yes. We have to keep giving it our yes, no matter where we find ourselves, right? On the bottom, on the top, having fallen, having gotten up, whatever it may be, we have to give God our yes. And He, because He is giving us His yes. Yeah, he's bringing us to new life. He's pouring His own life into us so that we now can make flesh His love for the world.